Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm starting to think that maybe, just maybe, you guys were right about something. Now, I don't want to admit this. It actually pains me to admit this. But you guys know that I'm going to always try to be honest and give you my real opinion on these things. I think the SEC in college football has become incredibly annoying. And I think that they have turned into massive complainers about the rules every time the rules don't suit them. So right now, they are trying to figure out a way on how to do the 14-team playoff. They had a 12-team playoff. They are only going to have that for one more year. The SEC's mad that they didn't get all the teams that they wanted in. I mean, they really think that Alabama should have been in the college football playoff despite not earning it on the field. So now, instead of telling Alabama to get better, we now have to make sure that the rules are fair so we can make sure that every team that's on the bubble can make it to the college football playoff. So there is a proposed model that the SEC wants. They want a 4-4-3-3-1 format. What does that mean? They want it guaranteed that the Big Ten and the SEC would guarantee at least get four teams into the college football playoff. They then want the Big 12 and the ACC to get a smaller piece of the pie. And then, you know what? I mean, here, Boise State here. We'll give you one. I mean, we've already taken up all the other games here. We'll give you one. We want you guys to feel like you're a part of this whole thing. Obviously, the Big 12 and the ACC don't want to sign up to a model that guarantees they'll never get as many teams in as the Big 10 and the SEC. So they're going back and forth, and they're trying to fight it. Here is Greg Sankey, quote, "I don't lecture others about good of the game, coordinated press releases about what's good for the game. I'm looking for ideas to move us forward." You know what would help college football? And I say this as a sport that I love. In some ways, college football is actually my favorite sport to watch and follow. The problem will always be simple. Two leagues want to be treated differently and better than everybody else, and that's not how sports work. We don't treat the AFC West different than the AFC East because the Chiefs are in one of the division. We don't treat the NFC East special because the Cowboys are in their division, and we treat the AFC South differently. No, we are on the same level playing field. You get one guaranteed team in the postseason, and then everybody else, you got to earn your own keep out here. That's not the way the SEC, and that's not the way the Big Ten see it. So, yes, we want to play our non-conference games in late November. We think that we should get more teams in the playoff than you should. We think that we should win every hypothetical argument when it comes to why we should be in the postseason, because if you asked Vegas, our team would win. But these games aren't played on paper. Greg Sankey was arguing that if they did this format that his own chancellors are arguing for, he was arguing that it would actually hurt SEC teams. You're telling me it would hurt SEC teams if you guaranteed get four of the 16 spots? How many spots do you want? We just want everybody from the SEC? to make the college football playoff. That's not how this works. This is why the rest of the sport hates you and roots against you in these moments. Because you guys, instead of trying to be better than Ohio State, instead of trying to be better than Clemson or better than Notre Dame, you simply try to rig the rules in your favor. And that's not how sports are supposed to be. Have they always been like this? They couldn't have been like this in the early 2000s, in the mid-2000s. They were dominating the sport. The SEC hasn't always been this annoying, have they? Because right now when they're trying to figure out the rules and right now they're trying to figure out, all right, hey, how are we going to do this thing? There appears to be one conference that is making it more difficult for everybody else. It's the SEC. We don't get any stories that the Big 12 is making this difficult or the ACC is making this difficult. No, not even the Big 10. We're not even hearing that argument about them. There's one conference that has to continuously make trouble just so we can argue if Ole Miss should get into the playoff. Well, you should have told Ole Miss to schedule better in the non-con, and they had enough chances in their regular season schedule. They missed the playoffs. I'm sorry. The SEC, they're starting to get on my nerves.
To answer your question, they've always been this annoying. They have. The difference is they've been annoying, but they've always been able to back it up. Our league's the best because we just keep winning championships. Our league's the best because we keep dominating the bowl game. Our league's the best because when we do make the playoff, we make the most noise. That was, as a non-SEC fan, what was annoying about the SEC was they carried themselves with this arrogance, but they were able to back it up. But now they 1,000% are unable to back it up. Why don't you play 9 league games? Well, we got to have that week 14 matchup against the Citadel. Why? Put a conference game there. You know, if we played hypothetical games based on Vegas spreads, our teams would be undefeated. Okay, let's put your teams in the playoffs and see what they actually do. You had one team make the semifinals, and you had one team get just roasted in the first round, and you got one team that got beat in their backyard in the quarterfinal in Georgia. Like, they have always been this annoying. But now, because of their success from like 09 to 17, they were always able to back up their talk. But now it's just talk and there's nothing backing it up. I don't want to hear about how, you know, if South Carolina had gotten the ball to bounce one different direction, they'd be in the playoff. And that's the only how it works in the SEC. That's how it works in most leagues nowadays because we have like 17 team power leagues. Just stop, SEC.
Listen to this. There's two quotes that blow my mind from the SEC. I mean, they're simply telling you that they're going to try to manipulate this thing to make sure that they can get as many teams in the postseason as possible. This is from the Texas A&M athletic director. You just mentioned conference games. The SEC came out and said that them adding another conference game is dependent on how many guaranteed spots they're going to get in the postseason because they see it. Hey, well, if we have Alabama play on the road against Florida or on the road against South Carolina, when we could just have Alabama play Citadel, we think that actually helps us in trying to get as many teams in the postseason. Wait, you're telling me the same league that says it just means more is now ducking the smoke from each other? So you added all of these teams into the conference, but you're afraid to play the teams in your conference? It's weak sauce. Then listen to this. This is the most mind-blowing quote from somebody who is in administration in college athletics. This is the Florida athletic director. Their team just won the basketball championship. Quote, this is the Florida AD. We don't feel a committee is ideal in choosing a postseason. I question whether it's appropriate for college football. Wait. You're telling me an athletic director doesn't think a committee is ideal for choosing a postseason? How do we determine what teams make the NCAA tournament? A committee selects that, right? How do we choose what teams make the college baseball tournament? It's a committee, right? Like, people vote on who we think should make these things. Now we're anti-committee in college athletics? Well, then how do you guys think we should determine what teams make it in college football? Again, this isn't the NFL. In the NFL, we don't need a committee to determine what teams make the playoffs because everybody plays an equal schedule in the NFL. Everybody. If you guys want to get together and determine an equal schedule for every team in college football and make it more like the NFL with regulated rules and a salary cap. And you want to handle it like that? Sure, that's great. But you guys have never shown a desire to give up some of the power that you have as entities. You guys don't move on one accord. I'm a big believer that COVID showed us the effectiveness and efficiency of some of your favorite places. Think back during that time, now 5 years ago. Think of how some of your favorite restaurants handled COVID. I mean, some of them had the takeout business. It was incredible. I remember going to Jack Stack, the one out in Lee's Summit. It's not that far from where my mom lives. And just the way that they had the line set up, oh my goodness. It was A-plus customer service. Hey, we're going to take your order, bring it around here, boom, boom, boom. We're going to whip it up. Hey, we appreciate you supporting local. Some of you try to support your favorite local business during COVID, and then you finally realize how disorganized they were. This is when I realized in college football that none of the entities talk to each other. Well, this league's going to start then. This league decided, hey, well, there was no uniformity to it. The NFL moves in one accord. The NBA, baseball, they all move in one accord because they have a union. Because the players represent themselves and the owners represent them. There's two sides having a conversation. Not in college football. There are the Big Ten and the SEC that do a lot of the talking. The Big 12 and the ACC do a lot of the listening and then suggest ideas that the two other conferences don't listen to. Boise State has absolutely no power. The NCAA is sitting there twiddling their thumbs trying to figure out where they fit in all of this. And they're not trying to make too much noise because they really don't need to be part of this process. We don't need you anymore. It's all messed up. You guys wanted a college football playoff, and we are seeing what the cost of that is going to be. I mean, eventually we'll get to the football part of it, and it'll be great. I mean, Saturdays in the fall, there's nothing like it. A day is sitting there on the couch, and I'm telling you, from sun up to sundown, we got great college football action, but the nonsense behind the scenes, the bickering, the arguing, the lack of uniformity, it's so silly. And the biggest culprit in all of it, the biggest culprit, it's the SEC. You guys come off as whiners. You know somebody who just can't get their way. And just they make it hell for everybody else. But when they were winning, they were the funnest person to be around. Now they're not winning. No one's afraid of the SEC anymore. No one's afraid of Alabama anymore. Sure, we'll schedule you. No one's afraid of LSU or Florida. No one's afraid of these teams. And now that that era, that aura of mystique has gone away from the SEC, we're starting to see them for what they are, an entitled group of pouters. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to baseball. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, let me ask you guys this question. 913-586-7965. Now, I don't have the answer to this, and I'm genuinely curious. Who are the players that move you enough to go buy a ticket to go out to Kauffman Stadium? Now, I assure you, this is not a attendance conversation. I honestly don't care what the attendance is today. I understand why you wouldn't go out there today. Look at it outside. It's a little windy. It's not the warmest. And I think we know that it's going to be packed this weekend. It is a big, slick weekend. I think they are going to sell out on Friday with the Tigers coming into town. Mahomes is going to do the softball game. Kelsey's going to do the softball game. You got real A-list celebrities that are coming into town. What, Saturday is the Mike Moustakas retirement. So if you're not going after a long holiday weekend to Royals and Reds on a Tuesday, I assure you, I'm not getting on you about that. I only asked the question because you would assume that the Reds have one of those players on their team in Ellie De La Cruz, one of the most exciting young superstars in the game. But I don't think tomorrow, Rob, when we see the attendance, I don't think that we are going to see, oh man, people really went out there because they wanted to see him play. I mean, we're talking about one of the exciting young players. You would think that he is one of the guys that would move the needle, that would get you to go out there. A guy who last season hit 25 home runs, had 75 RBIs. He stole 67 bases last year, had 36 doubles. I mean, we're talking about a guy that should get you to go buy a ticket to go see him play. I don't really think that's going to be the result of what happens today. We asked Vern this question earlier. Vern said there's only two players in baseball he thinks moves the needle that drives fans to go to the park. He thinks it's Shohei Ohtani. I don't think that's arguable. Whether it's him just playing in the field, whether it's him pitching, I think he is a player that clearly would get people to go out to the ballpark. I also think that Aaron Judge is one of those players too. Now, how much of it is the team that they play for, and people are just going to go see the Yankees play? It doesn't matter if Aaron Judge was on the team or not on the team. They have a national fan base. They're one of those teams that you want to go see the Yankees. I would also argue when the Dodgers come to town, they're another one of those teams that when you combine Cooper Flagg and Duke, you just got magic. If you're going to combine the star power of Shohei and the Los Angeles Dodgers, you get kind of what they have right now. Is there anybody else, Rob, that you would put on this list? Because I love Bobby Witt Jr. I imagine you love Bobby Witt Jr. I'm here to tell you that nobody in Seattle is excited that the Royals are coming to town because they can go see Bobby Witt Jr. I'm not saying that's right or that's wrong, but I don't think that you are noticing upticks in Royals attendance when the Royals are on the road because people just gotta go see Bobby Witt Jr. Now, how much of that is a baseball problem? How much of that is a marketing problem? How much of that is we just don't nationally keep up and talk about baseball players the same way that we did 20, 30 years ago or so? I think the answer is yes to all of those questions. But I'm willing to put Shohei on this list. I'm willing to put Aaron Judge on this list. I think that Paul Skenes is on this list. I think he is great and dominant enough as a pitcher, and you also know that you don't get many opportunities to see him pitch. I mean, if Paul Skenes was coming to Kauffman Stadium, you might get, what, three or four chances in his career to see him pitch. So I do think that people would go out there to see him, but I think that's so much more tied into he is a celebrity for a lot of things that don't have anything to do with him as a baseball player, but he's also really good at baseball too. I think that's the list. I think it's two position players, Shohei and Aaron Judge. I think Paul Skenes is somebody that you would see an uptick if he was pitching. I mean, if it was a Reagans versus Skenes matchup, I think you would see people want to go out there and they want to see two of the best pitchers in baseball duel and go head to head. Is there anybody else that you would consider throwing on this list?
So I'm going to put, first off, I don't think Aaron Judge on the list. And now I think that is because he's the Yankees and the Yankees draw and they don't have the player that does it. Don't get me wrong. Aaron Judge is a great baseball player and honestly a freak of nature. He's like huge. Remember we saw him, we were broadcasting out there live for the playoff game last year. He walked in like, oh, that man's an enormous human being. But I think the Yankees draw no matter what. The Yankees were just okay in 15, 16, 17 after Jeter retired and before they really had Judge hit the ground running. They were still drawing really well because they're the New York Yankees. So I have a tough time differentiating how much of it is people are going to see Judge versus they're just going to see the Yankees, where I feel like Shohei Ohtani is a unicorn. He is getting people to the ballpark by himself, not just because of the hitting and pitching thing, which is incredible. But last year what he did at the plate alone was just eye-popping, and it broke his FanDuel account with how well it went. So it's just that's I think it's Shohei. I also will go out there later this summer when Ronald Acuna's in town. I know the Braves are coming to town, so I think Ronald Acuna's on that list. And I don't know that Paul Skenes on that list. Don't get me wrong, Paul Skenes, also incredible. I think Paul Skenes is only on that list for people who live on Twitter and exist on the internet. I think if we went and asked, you know, 55-year-olds, if we went and asked my dad or, you know, Scott Parks from across the way, hey, do you know about Paul Skenes? He would say no, because Paul Skenes is more famous for TikTok dating than he is his actual baseball.
I understand what you're saying, but I would argue that baseball needs more of that. I would say that's one of baseball's problems.
I think it's a different conversation, but I agree.
I'm with you, but I'm saying is if we are judging baseball's popularity off Scott Parks, that is a reason why baseball is where baseball is. That the fact that baseball is not reaching for players that are very, very popular and very famous on TikTok is an issue. I don't disagree with you. Paul Skenes is a very mediocre personality. I watched a video of him like a month ago. He and Livy Dunn were doing some kind of quiz, and I'm sitting there thinking, she's with this guy? Like, he don't got any kind of personality. He's just white toast. Like, it says he's nothing. He's not giving me anything here. But, I mean, you are dating one of the most famous women on the internet, so I understand why your popularity is the way your popularity is. I do think that Skenes is kind of one of those players. Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, I think you're wrong. I do think that people will come out and see Bobby Witt Jr. in other cities, especially after the MVP race last year. I would just say this respectfully. He doesn't get you guys to go to the ballpark. Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't get you guys to go to the park. So I just don't think that Bobby Witt Jr. is really energizing people in Arizona to go watch them if he's not energizing his home market. The Royals are 24th in attendance this year. Again, this is not a you guys don't go out to the ballpark. I'm not being mad at you for that. I'm just simply saying I don't think there's a lot of players right now in baseball that on a Tuesday night you're thinking, oh, I want to go out there. I think Shohei is one of those players. If the Dodgers were in town, people would be out there tonight. If the Yankees were in town, the Yankees come for a midweek series. What's that, in 2 weeks? They come in 2 weeks. People will be out there, and they will see some of their bigger crowds. You would just think, especially with how many great young players there are in baseball, that they would have cultivated more of these things. Now, maybe this is the age-old argument we have about baseball and the way that they market players, because this is not a problem they have in the NBA. The NBA has other problems, but there are 15, 20 players that you would throw out there. Hey, I wouldn't mind buying a ticket to go see this guy play. I think you could argue that the WNBA is starting to build those kind of players that you would want to go out and see them play. The fact that there are 30 Major League Baseball teams, and Rob, we are thinking that there's two players in the entire sport that move the needle enough to get the average fan to go out to watch on a Wednesday. That is a problem that the sport needs to desperately fix when it comes to midweek attendance.
So I agree with you, and maybe this is just me waxing poetically about the back in my day, but I feel like when me and you were kids watching baseball, they did a great job of marketing their stars. Ken Griffey Jr. was a really big deal when we were kids. I wasn't watching Mariner games in Kansas City, but Ken Griffey Jr. was a huge deal. Let's put Sammy Sosa off to the side, although I think he was a huge deal too, because WGN.
Oh, for sure.
The Cardinals, they had Pujols early, and then they had McGuire before that. Those were megastars. Even Jose Canseco, albeit we know now that it was because of the roids, when he was in Oakland, he was a megastar. Tony Gwynn. Everyone knew about Tony Gwynn as a kid, and he was in San Diego playing for the Padres. Obviously, Chipper Jones, again, a little different because of TBS, but I feel like we could go through and name big-name players that were on teams across baseball. I remember when the Rockies came in town, I was excited. I'm like, I want to go see Todd Helton. Like, that was a thing when we were kids. What happened? Why isn't baseball able to do that anymore? Because, and again, it's possible I'm waxing poetically and maybe it didn't have a national feel. But it felt like when a team was had one of those types of guys was in town, when, you know, oh my goodness, can you believe player X was rolling through Kansas City? It felt like a big deal. And now, Ellie De La Cruz, who is Cincinnati Reds Bobby Witt, he's a really good baseball player. He's exciting. He's a shortstop. He's the kind of player that might not get 40,000 in the ballpark, but you get more than 12.5, which what they'll do tonight. Why are they not marketing them the same way they did Griffey and those guys? What happened, baseball?
I think that's a great question. I think some of this responsibility has to fall on the baseball players. How many baseball players do you think are interesting? We love Bobby Witt Jr. Is Bobby Witt Jr. an interesting personality? He is an incredible baseball player. No question about it. Is Bobby Witt Jr. interesting? What is Bobby Witt Jr. like? Is Bobby Witt Jr. dating anybody? What are Bobby Witt Jr.'s hobbies? Like, think about, we have two superstars in our city. You know a lot about Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes also wants you to know a lot about him. He wants you to see his kids. He wants you to see his family. He wants you to know what he's doing in his free time. Is that what Bobby wants to be? Patrick Mahomes moves like someone who wants to be a celebrity. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but Patrick Mahomes' offseason is one like a celebrity's would be. I want to go to the Met Gala. I want to go to the U.S. Open. I want to go to Coachella. I want to do superstar things. Is that the way Bobby wants to be? So I think part of it is just who you are as a person and sort of what you're building and what your brand is. Bobby plays baseball. I don't know if you can be famous just playing baseball anymore. Or if you do it, you better be in one of those big markets. Aaron Judge wouldn't be that famous if he was in Kansas City, Missouri. He wouldn't be that famous if he was in Milwaukee. He plays for the Yankees. So the fame is just kind of built in. You get asked to do SNL if you play baseball for the Yankees. They ain't asking you to play. They ain't asking you to host Saturday Night Live if you play baseball for the Kansas City Royals. Not if you don't do other things. You better be dating somebody famous. You better have a TikTok account. You better be funny. You better have some other stuff going on for you. I think that's maybe the problem, at least in this conversation that we're having, is I just don't think baseball players are very interesting. Part of why you like Derek Jeter so much is not just he was really good at baseball. It was a lot of the other things that made him a celebrity that people care about.
Yeah, but to the Derek Jeter point, and you're right, it's a personality thing. Like, I would tell you, when Mike Trout was the best player in baseball, he had that Bobby personality. I play baseball. That's what I do.
That's it.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But, like, I think some of the celebrity of Derek Jeter is who he dated because he lived in New York. Like, you know, we know everything about Patrick Mahomes, and it's because of the era.
Just really quick to point out here, Travis Kelce does not live in New York, and Travis Kelce is dating the most famous woman in the world.
That's true. That's true. I think part of the allure of Jeter was that graphic they every once in a while they would flash up of nine different women he dated, which that part is unique to New York. But, like, he was becoming that sort of star before social media and the internet. He was just a player on the Yankees and became that level of stardom. Nomar Garcia Parra, he was never the same star as Jeter, was a star of our childhood. Who's the Nomar Garcia Parra of baseball right now? Who's the guy that it's a good player on a big market team that you know and it draws you out there because, hey, Nomar's coming to town? Does that player exist anymore? And it could be chicken or egg. Is it baseball's fault or the player's fault? I don't know, but I don't know that player exists right now.
No, and I think that's a very good point. I think that you and I are probably more, I guess, on the same accord of this than anything. I just think we have seen what it means to be a celebrity has changed in 2025 than in 2005. Like, Nomar Garcia Parra just didn't do other things too. Like, he just played baseball. But you dated Mia Hamm during that time, who was a very, very popular person. I think our interest in celebrities was just very, very different then. And again, unless you are in a big market, if all you do is play baseball, I just don't know if you can be famous like that. And if you're not famous like that, I just don't know if you have the pull that draws people to go out there. I think one thing that you and I are sort of blind to just because our business are, and we kind of joke like, oh, this person doesn't know ball. I think the number of casual fans versus the number of hardcore fans, especially in a sport like baseball, is drastically different than the other sports. Drastically different than in the other sports. Where Paul Skeens is really famous because there are a lot of people that casually watch baseball. I keep up with my team, but I'm also on Instagram. I also like watching movies. Oh, wait, I know this person. She's dating this other person. Oh, I want to go see that person play. I think that's a big reason why. I don't know if Bobby really reaches casual baseball fans. I think he reaches people in Kansas City and people that play fantasy baseball and people that love the sport. I think that is a smaller and smaller number in 2025 than it was in 2005.
I would agree 100%. And I know that TikTok, Paul Skeens is a unicorn because not everyone's going to go to college with one of the most famous TikTok women on the planet. And then they just start dating and it becomes a power couple. And despite the fact that Paul Skeens has the personality, Paul Skeens has less personality than Bobby Witt. And you were saying earlier, Bobby Witt's just I play baseball. Paul Skeens makes Bobby Witt look like he could host SNL.
Like Eddie Murphy.
Hey, can you believe the personality Bobby has compared to Paul Skeens? So Paul Skeens is a bit of a unicorn. But is there something baseball can do to grab that TikTok generation short of just dating TikTokers? Like, you're right. Nomar was dating Mia Hamm, but like, there were players who weren't dating famous people who were famous of our youth. How can baseball get the, you know, we were, you know, 9, 10 years old. How do you get the 9, 10 year old to care about Ellie De La Cruz? Because part of the allure of baseball is it's in the summer. So if you're a kid and you can get a kid into baseball, they don't have school the next day. They can go to a game. And if your kid's like, dad, I want to go watch Ellie De La Cruz, you can go to the Coffin tonight for $9 and go watch Ellie De La Cruz. How do they get that TikTok 9-year-old generation to care about that player other than have him date one of the most famous women on earth?
This is, we'll move on from this. Someone said, I'd ask Bryce Harper, when was the last time a baseball player had a soundbite? You remember like the clown question, bro? Remember that when Bryce Harper said that? I think he was like 20 and somebody asked him what his favorite beer was. And he was like, well, I'm not 21 yet. And you remember that whole thing? Clown question. When's the last time a baseball player had a soundbite? When was the last time that a manager had a big blow up on the field? Like, baseball just has less personality now than it used to when it felt like we were kids. Like, who's the Manny Ramirez? Like, you mentioned, who's the Nomar Garcia Parr? Who's the Manny Ramirez? Just a fun player that y'all like. Who's David Ortiz? They just don't have a lot of fun players, it feels like, in baseball that would really draw you towards a lot of those things. We can get back to this. I was just curious with Ellie De La Cruz in Kansas City coming up later today. I was just curious if he's a player that is driving you to the park, if he is a player that you are keeping up with, if he's a player that would get you to go out to the park this week. Again, this is not me. If you guys aren't going, I'm not going to any of the Reds games. So this is not me telling you you should be going out there. I'm going out there on Friday because everybody's going out there on Friday. Big Slick, Tigers in town. The weather's going to be good. I'm going on Friday to watch the Tigers series. I imagine a lot of you are also going out there this weekend to watch the Tigers. The Reds, I'll watch it at home. I'll watch it on television. I'll catch Ellie De La Cruz another time. He is not a player that would get me to go out to the park to go watch them. Rob, did you know we are 100 days away from the start of the NFL season? I don't know if you knew that or not. We are 100 days away. Let me ask you this question. And coming up on the other side, we will talk about a situation that every single person listening has been in. But let me ask you this. Who do you think has the most pressure on them heading into this season? I think the answer is Caleb Williams. Maybe you think the answer is Lamar Jackson. You've won a couple of MVPs, haven't gotten to the Super Bowl. Maybe you think the answer is Josh Allen, won MVP last year, never gotten to the Super Bowl. Like, the answer is usually a quarterback. I think the answer is Caleb Williams. I don't think a team has bent over more backwards to try to accommodate one player than the Bears have for him. And you were telling me this offseason, we have to deal with quotes that you didn't want to be here. Now, I'm sure they probably knew about the book and the quotes and all of those things, but all we've done is try to accommodate you. We went out and got the coach that you wanted. We got the offensive-minded coach in Ben Johnson. We went out and we traded for a potential Hall of Fame offensive lineman in Joe Tooney and then gave him an extension. We went out and we got Jonah Jackson for you. Look what we've done. The last 2 years, the Bears have spent a top 10 pick on a pass-catching weapon. They spent the 10th overall pick on a tight end. They then spent their second-round pick on a wide receiver. All the Bears have done is try to give Caleb Williams all the parts that he needs to go out there and have success. You got Romo Dunze, Luther Burden. You got the Loveland kid from Michigan. All you've done is get more and more things. Hey, man, if the Bears miss the playoffs, there'll only be one person they will blame for that. They ain't blaming Ben Johnson for that. They will be blaming Caleb Williams. I think he has the most pressure on him heading into the season. We are 100 days out. Who do you think it is?
I think it's Lamar and Josh Allen. I think Caleb Williams is in the conversation. I think he's part of the group. But I think the answer is always going to be Lamar and Josh Allen, because despite the fact the Chiefs won the Super Bowl 2 years ago and went back last year, it felt like the Chiefs started to look vulnerable. For the first time in the Mahomes era, you felt like, oh, they might get caught this year in the postseason. You know what happened? They didn't. The Mahomes and the Chiefs just ran through them, beat them 2 years ago in their house, and then this year, Josh Allen, the MVP, came to town, beat him again. Like, it felt like the Chiefs were kind of ripe for the picking the last 2 years, and they didn't get them. We saw how the Patriots dynasty went. I think it's going to happen in Kansas City. There are different iterations. There's phase one, phase two, phase three. The first Patriot dynasty and the second Patriot dynasty were not the same group of guys. It feels like you're kind of coming out of that first wave of the Chiefs dynasty. And that's where you should have been vulnerable. And no one got Mahomes or the Chiefs. And now you're entering that second wave with Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, a different crew. If they don't get Mahomes soon, are they ever going to get him? And that monkey on their back gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I think it's going to be those two until one of them breaks through.
Are they just going to be the answer for the foreseeable future?
Yes.
So I remember at one
point
that
one of them breaks through,
that answer used to be Dak Prescott. It wasn't that long ago that Dak Prescott was the answer to that question. And Dak Prescott, I feel like he's kind of lost a little bit of the shine. I feel like people have just kind of moved on. I think we all know what Dak Prescott is at this point. He's also the third best player in his own division. So, I mean, I don't really know what we're supposed to talk about with you. Jalen Hurts is better than you are. Jaden Daniels is better than you. The third best quarterback in your division is not winning the Super Bowl. That's not usually how this goes. Coming up on the other side, we all have been in this situation. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here, so drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming and 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, we'll get back to serious sports things coming up at the top of the hour, but the Royals lost their series this weekend, and what else are we going to do? I want to read a news story to you guys because I imagine that all of us have been there before. They put together a study to determine what is the most emotionally triggering text message that you can send. Their study concluded that K was, quote, the most negatively received response in digital conversations. According to this study, it beat out responses like okay and sure, or simply them not responding to your text. And according to this, sending someone K conveys emotional distance, passive aggressiveness, or disinterest, and this was deemed by far the most emotionally triggering messages that you could send. I do believe that everybody has their passive aggressive digital response. Maybe yours is you don't even just send the thumbs up emoji. You just do the, you know, where you like highlight the text and you just do the thumb up emoji. Like you couldn't even go through the thing and send it to me. You just decided to thumbs up my text. Okay. Mine is all right then. All right then is usually the end of the conversation for me. I'm not going to keep arguing with you back and forth. All right then. Like that, I don't have anything else to say. I don't want to talk about this anymore. I will also give you this. Now, I think I actually might have invented this move. I will tell you to have a good day or have a good night at any time, and that is me telling you I'm done talking to you. I'll tell you have a good night at 5:42. Hey, have a good night. We don't have anything else to talk about for the rest of the evening. I don't need to talk to you anymore. But K seems like a step too far for me. I see how, especially usually when you receive the K text message, Rob, you usually say something that's kind of important. Like you send a paragraph kind of thought. We've all been in that position before, or maybe you've received this text before. You really had something that you had to say. You're doing your best to try to communicate with this individual. They tell you all the time, communicate. You don't communicate enough. all right, I'm going to try it. I'm really going to communicate now, and I'm going to tell you how I think. And after me doing exactly what you told me to do, you're just going to send me K? You didn't think enough about me to put the O on there? K? This might actually be the right answer. This might be the worst text message that you can respond. I could certainly understand you're triggered by somebody replying to you simply K. I get it.
K is absolutely the worst, because it's the worst for two reasons. One, as you laid out, it feels super passive aggressive. Hey, you want to get dinner tonight? K. Okay, now I'm angry. Or I'm telling you something important, I get K back. I feel like we're fighting. I feel like we're about to have a longer conversation. That's why it's annoying, number one. So you're right there. Two, and maybe this is just me, superfluous and unneeded texts are the worst. Hey, man, we're headed to Johnny's. Well, we're going to be there at 5. I don't need you to text back, K. No. Just, we're good. React to my text or whatever. We've made plans. Hey, I know me and you talked about meeting downtown for the KU game, you know, watch them play Arizona Sprint Center. I'll be at your apartment at, you know, 6:15. K. Don't send me that. I don't need it. Nothing has changed.
I will say this. I'm actually kind of bad at this. This is one thing I am bad at. Sometimes someone will send you a message and literally there is nothing really to reply to other than, okay, like you're not mad, you're not unhappy. It's simply like a, okay, all right. Hey, let's go to so-and-so. Okay, all right, that's fine. And then I feel like people then like, that wasn't a good enough response. And then I'm thinking, well, I don't know what else you wanted me to say in this. Like there was no other possible response other than yes. All right, I agree. Yes, let's do that.
That is why they invented the text reaction.
That's now, it. That's where you go, the thumbs up text emoji. Okay.
Yeah. Or that's, it's just not the emoji. You send like the, hey, man, let's do something. We'll hang out at 5. I can just react to your text. Thumbs up. I'm now acknowledging I've seen this text, but I don't need to respond. Cool. Okay. We're good.
Hey, I'm asking people, what's your passive aggressive response when you're done talking to somebody? Mine's is all right then. What's yours, Rob? What's yours? This conversation, it's over. It's not productive anymore. I have to move forward in my day. I'm just going to hit you with the, all right then.
So it's a little passive aggressive to it too, like a little element of like dismissive. Is that kind of the vibe?
Yes.
The answer is okay, cool. Okay, cool. Like I've done all I can do. I've sufficiently responded. Okay, cool. Like, you're going to keep talking to me? Okay, cool.
Somebody said mine is good enough. Amen.
If I get good enough, I'm mad.
I'm mad. Please don't text me good enough. If you and I are going back and forth and you're ending our conversation with a good enough, nah, I can't do that. Somebody said mine is relax. If you tell me in the middle of a text conversation simply to relax, you know what that's going to make me? Unrelaxed. You're trying to pick a fight. Rob, have you ever been in a situation where you're having a good day and you feel like somebody out of the blue texts you, and the only reason why they did this is they were bored and just simply wanted somebody to argue with for the day? You just sensed that from the very, why are you, what is this? This conversation has no purpose. It's 12:15. I'm at work. You're at work. Why are we even talking right now? What is this? What is happening here? That might be when you got to bust out the good enough. Hey, good enough. No, good enough.
This is going to sound...
Ooh, somebody said sounds good. Sounds good is a really good passive-aggressive one.
Here's the thing of sounds good, though. There are times where sounds good works. Hey, can you meet for dinner and drinks at this time? Sounds good.
Sounds good.
It does sound good.
You know what we actually need? We actually need a bracket. We need a tournament of passive-aggressive text. Somebody says mine has got it or sounds good. That I'm telling you, sounds good is also a really good, that's the end of it. That's a good one. Oh, that's a really good one. Somebody say, okay, big guy. Okay, all right. In that situation, I assume you want to fight.
Okay, big guy's a fight.
Yeah, I assume you want to fight. I assume the next time that I see you, you want to engage in fisticuffs. If you and I are having a conversation and you reply to me, okay, big guy, that's too much. If you are wondering what we're talking about, they did a study. This was in the Journal of Mobile Communication, and they determined that K, just replying K, it is the most negatively received response in digital conversations. It conveys emotional distance, passive aggressiveness, and disinterest. Sure was actually the number two answer. Sure, number three was being left on read. I'd much rather you not reply than reply K. If those are my two options, if you were telling me that you are, because sometimes not replying to my text, you have replied to my text. You maybe didn't send something, but you not responding, you responded to what I had to say. So I wanted to let you guys know that, because we all, especially the fellas out there, we've all been in that situation where she hits you with the cane. You're just like, all right, I'm not doing this with you anymore. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to very serious sports things. Jack Caglione might be here way sooner than we anticipated. Keep it right here, so drive.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.